Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
We have access to more opportunity, more education, more wealth, and more ways to spend it than any generation in history. So why aren't more of us happy? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah suggests that we're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And he shares what Jesus said about finding true happiness. Here's David to introduce today's message, How to Really Be Happy.
And friends, this is kind of a wrap-up message for the series on the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, and I want you to listen carefully because we bring some of this really into sharp focus as we end this series together. Well, right now, we need to turn our attention away from the Gospel of John and back to Matthew chapter 5, and today we're going to talk about how to really be happy.
I was presented a book written by a man by the name of Donald McCullough, and the book is called Trivializing God. In the book, he points out two very important revolutions that have taken place in a main way through most of our lives. The first is one associated with Sigmund Freud. Oz Guinness points out that there are more than 500 brand-named therapies now that compete for millions of clients in an expanding market of McFreud franchises and independent outlets that pull more than $4 billion a year from the population. In America today, it is more hazardous to believe that you are not sick than to believe that you are. The couch has become as American as the baseball diamond and the golden arches. Psychology is no longer the province of some arcane theorizing by European intellectuals or a luxury available to just those who have enough money for professional consolation for their troubled egos. We all know we're either in recovery or we're in denial. And fearing the latter is as much as our grandparents feared hell. We're rehabilitating our psyches with the intensity of Olympic milers on the last lap. We're getting in touch with abused inner children who have caused depressions and anxieties and compulsions, not to mention neuroses and psychoses, and we're joining support groups that take us through 12 steps and role-playing and primal screams toward positive self-esteem in order to maximize our human potential. Wow. Sounds like we're in trouble. Like the things we've been trying to do to get happy aren't working because we're going back in droves to try to get fixed. And this is not a diatribe against psychology and psychiatrists, because I have a lot of friends who are involved in these ministries and are helping many folks through their counseling, especially those who use the Bible. But the issue, men and women, is that there are 80 million Americans seeking help from therapists, an estimated 10 million who will do so next year. In 1968 in the United States, there were 12,000 clinical psychologists. Today there are 40,000. There was a time, someone said, when we were afraid of being caught in front of our pastor doing something sinful. Now we're afraid of being immature in front of our therapist. ABC ran a one-hour special on happiness called The Mystery of Happiness. It was presided over by John Stossel, and the subtitle was The Mystery of Happiness: Who Has It and How to Get It. Among many other things they discussed in that one-hour special, they went to those who would normally expect to be happy and interviewed them. For instance, they interviewed lottery winners, people who had won millions of dollars. They interviewed a young lady who won $26 million in the lottery. And they asked her, "Are you happy?" And her response was, "Not really." She won 26 million bucks in the lottery, and it didn't do for her what she thought it might. Then they went to Europe and they interviewed those who had achieved royalty, people who were in great positions of prominence. And I can't remember exactly who the kings were, but they were some prominent people all dressed out in their royal garb. And they asked them, "Are you happy?" And basically their answer was, "Not really." They showed a picture of the Dallas Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. and they showed a picture of their all-star quarterback. And behind him, there was an article that was talking about having won the Super Bowl. And here is the quarterback's byline. Is this all there is? I was just amazed. This was a secular program. This wasn't a program that was put together by Christian people or people who have any axe to grind. They were just saying, how do you be happy? And then they went through all this stuff. They put sensors on people's heads. They found out happiness resides somewhere up in here. And so they were putting these sensors up on their head trying to figure out what happens that makes your happiness thing go off up here, you know? They did some experiments with little babies. You know the mobiles that you put up over the crib? Well, they found out that if you, now watch this, if you put two little, these I think were dice, hanging down over the baby to play with, he'll be all right. But if you put 10 up, he'll be ecstatic. If you take the 8 away and leave only 2, he goes ballistic. I mean, they showed the baby having a royal fit. He just lost 8 things that he used to have. I mean, I was just amazed at this. They spent thousands of dollars to find out that the world doesn't know how to make people happy. And then you come along as a preacher and you say, okay, folks, we're going to read Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus on happiness. And we read it and everybody kind of looks at you with a blank stare like, you know what? In fact, Philip Yancey, when he was preaching on the Beatitudes, he had been invited to the White House during the time he was studying the Beatitudes because it was right after the Persian Gulf War, and Bill Clinton was really worried because the evangelical population wasn't so good. I mean, he wasn't very popular with the evangelicals, and he invited 12 evangelical leaders to the White House to find out how he could increase his effectiveness among the evangelicals. Philip Yancey was thinking about the Beatitudes, and the thought came to him, I wonder what Jesus would say if he got to go to the White House. And he thought, I wonder how the Beatitudes would play in today's world. So he came up with this little speech that he thought he might give to Mr. Clinton. And it goes like this. Mr. President, first, I want to advise you to stop worrying so much about the economy and the jobs. A lower gross national product is usually good for the country. Don't you understand that the poor are the fortunate ones? The more poor we have in the U.S., the more blessed we are. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And don't devote so much time to health care. You see, Mr. President, those who mourn are blessed too, for they shall be comforted. And I know you've heard from the religious right about the increasing secularization of our country. Well, prayers no longer allowed in schools, and protesters against abortion are subject to arrest. Relax, sir. Government oppression gives Christians an opportunity to be persecuted and therefore blessed. Thank you for the expanded opportunities. And he said, no, I don't think that'll play, not in today's world. Because, you know, there's just two different worlds here. There's the world over here that we live in, and that there's the world here that Jesus talks about. And he says to us, you won't find what you're looking for here. If you want to devote your life to it, go for it, but you won't find it. Let me tell you that you will find it in the principles that I want to share with you. And then he said, let me tell you how to be happy. And they truly are amazing. And they're totally in opposition to what the world says. Happy are the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does the world say? You don't want to be humble. You want to be self-assertive. You want to make sure everybody knows how good you are. You got to tell your own story. If it's going to be, it's up to me, says the world. And Jesus comes along and he says, no, the humble have the kingdom of heaven. The Lord resists the proud. He exalts the humble. He will draw near to those who have a spirit, not of poor mouthing themselves, but a recognition that they are not complete apart from God. Happy are the humble. Then he says, happy are the hurting. Now that is almost an absurd statement. How can you be happy when you're hurting? You know what the world says? The world says, avoid pain at all costs. Whatever you have to do to get rid of it, to cover it up, to mask it, to make it go away, don't talk about death, don't talk about sickness, don't ever use the C word, because that's pain and you want to stay away from pain. And the Lord Jesus comes along and he says, no, wait a minute. some of the most profound things that you will ever experience, you will experience in pain. Some of the greatest truths you will ever learn, you will learn in suffering. Some of the most joyous moments you will have when everything on the outside is dictating anguish in your life. Blessed are those who hurt, for they shall be comforted. And then Jesus said, if you want to be happy when you're humble, be happy when you're hurting. But he adds this one, happy are the harnessed. And that's really what that means. For the word meek is power under control. And the world says, you don't want anything. You want to have it all. You want to let it all out. If you've got power, use it. If you've got money, use it for whatever you can get from it. Take every resource you have to the limit. Read all the self-help books, and that's what they'll tell you. Jesus said, no. No, real happiness is when you have power and it's controlled by the Spirit of God. When you understand that in order to demonstrate that you have power, you don't have to use it at every moment. He comes right against the world's philosophy with his formula for blessedness. Do you know the drive for success in our world today, men and women, is so relentless? Some of you are trapped in the treadmill of self-destruction. You run faster and faster to try to get what you don't have. And there's always a little voice inside of you saying, I got to run faster still. It's not easy trying to live the American dream. Somebody said, it's tough to climb the ladder of success if you're trying to keep your nose to the grindstone, your shoulder to the wheel, your eye on the ball, and your ear to the ground. I mean, that's really pretty, that's contortion. Dan Wakefield, some of you may remember, wrote a novel called Going All the Way, published back in 1970. It was on the Newsweek bestseller list back then. It sold 800,000 copies in paperback. And Dan Wakefield was interviewed after he had published this book, and somebody asked him how he felt about the success he had achieved, because this is what he had always dreamed. And here is a direct quote. Here's what he said. The dream of a lifetime had been realized, and I was delighted. I was also nervous and anxious. I learned what people have testified since the beginning of time, but that no one really believes until he has the experience, that success and achievement and rewards are all fine, but they do not transform you. They do not bring about a state of built-in contentment or inner peace or security, much less salvation. The novel was not the answer to all of life's problems as I thought it would be, so I went out and had another drink. End of quote. What was he saying? This is what I wanted. I gave everything I had to it without any abatement, and I got it. And I had to say with Troy Aikman, is that all there is? Is that all? Jesus said, happy are the hungry. You know what the world says? The world says you want to not be hungry. You want to be satisfied. You don't want to have anything lacking in your life. That's a sign of not being successful. So get everything you can, gorge yourself with it. And Jesus comes along, and in the spiritual realm, he says, there is a kind of joy that comes from the inner desire to grow into the nature of godliness through Jesus Christ. Happy are the hungry. The world says that happiness is being served by others. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Happy are the helpers. Jesus himself came into the world and he said, I did not come into this world to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. And you can mark it down, men and women, the people who really understand happiness, especially those who walk with Christ, have learned that happiness is not in being served. Happiness is in serving others. The triangle of the world says that when you get to the top of the triangle, everybody underneath is serving you. And Jesus comes along and he says, let me turn that triangle upside down. If you want to be great, you got to be the least among everyone. And it's not how many people are serving you, but how many people you're serving. Pastors in churches must understand that we are here to serve the people through the study and teaching of the Word of God. We are not here for the people to serve us. And the greater joy of life comes in understanding this truth. Happy are the helpers. Happy are the merciful. for they shall be ministered to. You want to be ministered to? Minister to others, because it'll always come back to you. And then the world says that happiness and joy is in unrestrained freedom, the sexual revolution. All of these things that we have now in our culture in the name of freedom. We don't want to violate the right of free speech, and so we allow any kind of sordid thing in the world to be portrayed in our culture. And you've heard and read all of the illustrations that are so current. And that's all supposed to bring us the sense that we are in control of our destiny. We are free. Happy are the free, says the world. And Jesus comes along and says, no, wait a minute. Happy are the holy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Let me tell you something I know for a fact. As a pastor for over 30 years, there are no happy adulterers. There are no happy fornicators. There are any people happy like that. You don't get happiness through unrestrained passion. Happiness comes through holiness, says Jesus. I'm telling you, these are strange words in the world in which we live. They run directly counter to everything you see and hear and feel in the culture where we reside. Happy are the holy. And then Jesus said, happy are the healers. The world says if you're in the structure of your culture, especially in the realm of the secular world, if you want to get to the top, don't be concerned if your peers are antagonistic to each other. In fact, it might be in your best interest even to foster that contention. Build a competition between the two people you're competing with. Let them knock each other out, then you'll climb up on the carnage of their situation and go on to the top. That's what the world says. That's the philosophy. You guys that work in the secular world, you know there's so much of that going on, the political maneuvering and all of the stuff that happens. And it's not just out in the world. Sometimes it happens in the church too. Jesus comes along and he says, no, blessed are the peacemakers. Find people that are separated and heal them. Don't foster the continued contention. You got a problem with somebody, mend it. That's God's way. Happy are the harassed. I mean, you know, I'm harassed. I'm supposed to be happy. Jesus said, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake and for my sake, because it's a compliment. You belong to me. It's a credential. You're a Christian. It's a catalyst. It will help you grow. And it's a condition to your future glory in the kingdom. Go back over those and just think about them for a moment. Would you write a formula like that if somebody asked you how to be happy? Happy are the humble. Happy are the hurting. Happy are the harnessed. Happy are the hungry. Happy are the holy. Happy are the helpers. Happy are the healers. And happy are the harassed. That's what Jesus said. You say, well, Pastor, I still don't get it. I don't see how you can be happy with all those things, Jesus said. You know, the word for blessed in the book of Matthew is the word eulogia in the Greek language. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the word eulogia is the word from which we get the word eulogy. When do we give a eulogy? When it's all over. When the guy can't talk back. Right? When he's said everything he's going to say and done everything he's going to do. Then we eulogize him. Jesus said, there's a way you can have a eulogy all through your life. You can have the blessing and benediction of God from the very beginning if you follow these principles. These are the principles for joy and happiness in the Christian experience. But as we close this series and as we think back over what we've learned, I want to tell you something. This is not a walk in the park. What I'm talking about, again, is back to these two worlds. Here is this world over here, and here is the world which the Lord Jesus is talking about. We are in this world, but we are not to be of this world. God has put us here. We can't get out of the world. We'd have to die to get out of the world. That's not the issue. The issue is that while we're living in this culture, we have to learn how to live God's way. And God's way isn't the world's way, and there is incredible tension between these two worlds. I want to give you a passage of Scripture that I think will help you begin at least to understand how these things can be true in your life and how they can be true in my life. Turn with me to the first Psalm. I want to show you how incredibly detailed is this plan that the psalmist gave us for living in this world, but living of that world. And there's two points I want you to notice from Psalm 1. We're going to take this very quickly, but I hope you won't ever forget this, because this can make the difference in your life from now on. If you will understand what I'm going to say in these next few moments, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount will start to click in to your system. But you have to understand these two principles. Here's the first principle, I want to say it. In order for this to happen, you have to understand the aggressive pull of the world on your life. Now read with me the first couple of verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I want you to notice three things about this one verse. First of all, I want you to note the progression of the world. The psalmist uses three words for what goes on in the world. Here they are: ungodly, sinners, scornful.
Well, that's probably not the best place for us to end our lesson, but we have to do that because of the time, and we'll bring it all back together tomorrow when we finish up this series, How to Be Happy According to Jesus. Friends, we're so thankful for the privilege we have. You know, during the time when everything else is being shut down, it appears as if the Word of God is being wide open. The volume on our little microphone is turned way up, and people are listening who have never listened before. Maybe you're one of them. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's series, How to Be Happy According to Jesus, visit our website, where we offer two free ways to help you stay connected: our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Now, when you do, ask for your copy of David's new Bible study, John, the Divinity of Christ. It's part of the Jeremiah Bible Study series, perfect for group or individual study. And it's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard and New International versions, as well as in standard or large print in the New King James, in your choice of several attractive cover options. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we conclude How to Be Happy According to Jesus. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
For taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.